today on Real Radio.
Are you in some extreme situation, according to you? Is that situation now one that is producing in your heart love for God? Or is your extreme situation missing what he's trying to do in your life?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called My Dear Church with a message called My Dear Smyrna, I've Written You a Letter. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, Jesus singles out actual churches in Asia Minor, which is now, of course, modern-day Turkey. His intention was to deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our hearts and where exactly we are in our walk with the Lord. Many are confused over what's happening today. Some say it's God's judgment upon the earth, while others call it simply a process of evolution. But one thing is perfectly clear. God is speaking to this world, and we need to listen. So today, on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the world takes pieces out of us, but Jesus gives us a peace that passes all understanding. Leaders want to silence the church through isolation, and then they want to tell us it's for our own good. But the Lord tells us to put our trust in Him, and He will make a way. The church of Smyrna is alive and well today by remaining faithful and believing that God will fulfill His promises to them in the end. And now in his message called, My Dear Smyrna, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Can you get ready to write down some verses? I'm going to paraphrase them to you, but you're going to need them. You're going to need them this week. You're going to need them for the rest of your life. Matthew 10:29. You won't see them on the screens. Just write them down. Matthew 10:29. Jesus spoke to us about the sparrow falling to the ground will not happen without your Father's notice. So how much more will your Father watch and care for you? Write this verse down, Luke 12:7. Luke 12:7 tells us that Jesus says, all the hairs of your head are numbered by God. So don't worry. He knows the hair count on your head. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious regarding the things of your life or your life's situations. Don't be anxious, the Bible says. Here comes another one. Psalm 103:13. In fact, these next two are connected. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. The next verse is Psalm 103:14. He says, when he speaks to us, and you need to hear this, he says, I know that you, in your own strength, that you're as dust, that your frame is weak. God says that to you. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. He knows how weak I am. He knows that I am prone to worry. He knows that I am prone to be anxious. Now, don't look at me like they say, oh, I didn't think he's a pastor. I didn't think, you know, he would be anxious. Every human being faces the temptation and succumbs frequently to anxieties and the pressures of this life. The issue is, do you resist and fight them? It's very important. And then one more, Matthew 6:30. Matthew 6:30 says, Jesus said, if the flowers of the field are here today and the sun rises and wilts them all, and now they're gone, how much more does your Heavenly Father care and would provide and looks out for you if he blankets the hillside in such splendor? You and I are the ones that are to determine, my friend, just exactly who's going to rule us or what. You see, Jack, that sounds a little bossy. No. I said you and I will determine, meaning this. The truth is before us. You and I can either worry ourselves sick because, you know, they're talking about other things now that are coming. We can worry ourselves sick and do that literally, worry ourselves sick. Or you can say, Lord, I had no say coming into this world. And I woke up to my existence over the course of being a young kid. I know your Bible tells me that you care for me and that I have declared you to be my Lord and Savior. And so I am determining right now that you will rule over me, Jesus, not this anxiety, not this worry about my job or my employees or about my employment or my coworkers. Stop it. Stop that now. Remember this and preach it to yourself if you must. He tells us clearly that we are to determine who today will be our Lord. And when we declare Christ as Lord, everything changes, because the believers at Smyrna, remember now from the introduction, it was there in Smyrna that the saying was throughout the Roman Empire born, Caesar is Lord, Caesar is Lord. And if anybody didn't say Caesar was Lord, they lost their, we would call it passport. They lost their city credentials. They lost their ID card. Because listen, they were no longer bowing to emperor worship. And they would not say Jesus is Lord. Oh, check this out. It's not in my notes, but I need to tell you about this. The gospel writer, John, the author, the human author, that is, the scribe of the book of Revelation, had a disciple. He had a young man who became a follower of Jesus Christ. And that young man knew John personally over decades of time. And this young man was named or ordained as a pastor. And that pastor, at the age of 86 years of age, in the year 150, 151, can you imagine? In the year 151 AD, living to be 86 years old, that guy's name was Polycarp. And Pastor Polycarp was burned at the stake for his testimony and witness. And he was loved, listen, he was loved by the population of the city, but he was hated by the Jewish leadership, and he was hated by the priest and the deity protectors of Roman paganism, because they couldn't match his witness. And so Polycarp was known as the great lover of God, and people hated him because he loved God, but people who were outcasts loved him. And when he was arrested, the Roman guards that were dispatched to arrest him did so without their pleasure, did so without their approval. They were obeying the empire's, you know, edict to go do that. And on the way to Polycarp's martyrdom, it is famously recorded in history that one of the Roman centurions said, "Old man, please, don't bring this upon yourself. Simply say that Caesar is God, and it will be fine with you." Polycarp turned to him without any judgment in his eyes, and with all love and kindness said to that Roman, "Sir, 86 years, Jesus has never abandoned me. Can I abandon my master and Lord now in this hour of glory?" And Polycarp was there, put in the center of the city, and he was burned alive. And he gave glory to God. What a remarkable display of God's grace being there. He determined who was going to be Lord. Is the government going to be Lord, or is Jesus Christ Lord? Is it the new world order that's going to be Lord, or is it going to be Jesus Christ is Lord? And we're heading in that direction, church. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I know my Bible. And from this pandemic stuff, already there's been so many movements behind the scene of those that want a one world global government and a one world global medical overseer and the one world government, you fill in the blank. So how is the world going to now be identified? How is everyone in the world now going to be able to prove that they have been inoculated against the COVID or the Wuhan virus? How do you prove that? That shouldn't be a surprise to many of us who have passports, by the way, where we've gone to countries where to get the visa for that country, you had to get a bunch of shots. Remember that? For those of us who had to do that? There are countries where you can't go unless you take your passport, you go to a medical professional, you get a series of shots, then they give you data that is now attached to either your visa or your passport, and when you enter in to that other country, they let you in based on two things. You belong, and you have been inoculated against this stuff. And so this is going to be fast-tracked now. And that's going to possibly bring on other forms of global encroachment upon your life. At the same time, we're talking about a cashless world. The governments now are saying we've got to do away with cash. And we talked about that last Wednesday night. But we live in a tremendous time. Write it down now. Third is this, where Jesus is writing to Smyrna a letter of love to them. And he says, I want to remind you that I'm doing with what I'm doing with your life. I want to remind you what I'm doing with your life. God is literally using you now. See, Jack, how can you say that when I'm a single person? I have nobody in my life. I've got a cat. And I've been locked in my home during this time. How can I be used? Let me ask you something. Have you been praying? Has God been speaking to you? Have you been reading your Bible? He wants you to know. He wants to remind you that he's doing something in your life. He's at work. Verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Oh my goodness, I love this. Watch. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison and that you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Let me get out of the way something that is assumed. See the word, the statement 10 days? Most scholars believe this and we'll just go on with it. No need to belabored by it. The 10 days, most scholars believe, is that which is referring to the Roman persecutions that began with Nero. They were 10 emperors that deliberately and exclusively tortured Christians. It was their way of government, and it started with Nero, and it ended with Diocletian. When I studied that this weekend, I was reminded several months ago, I actually got to go to Diocletian's summer house, and connected to his house, Diocletian, the emperor, was his own private worship chapel. And so we saw where he lived for the summer, there in what is modern day Croatia. And he could step right out of his house and go right next door to his own little chapel. And in the chapel were all these various gods of paganism, all represented there. And Diocletian was the last of those 10 emperors. Many believe that 10 days refers to the 10 phases of the 10 Roman emperors. I just wanted to say that to get it out of the teaching, because you'd be thinking, what does that mean? What's with the 10 days? That is what's understood to be regarding the 10 days. The point that I want you to look at carefully is look down in your Bible where Jesus begins by saying, do not fear. He knows and he wants you to be reminded of the fact that he knows what he's doing with your life. Jesus says, don't fear. Are you near death? Has somebody told you you don't have long to live? Now, here's the difference between you and I. You may have been told that you've got 6 months to live. No one's told me nothing because I don't think I'm sick. But I could drop dead today. So which one of us is truly closer to the kingdom of God or eternity? We don't know. Honestly, let's be honest. You do not know what hour death comes for you. Jesus says, don't fear. I want to remind you, he's saying, I'm doing something with your life, so don't fear. In other words, Jesus is saying, I see no need for you to fear. Look into my eyes. Jesus is saying, look into my eyes. Listen to me. I see no need for you to fear. He goes on and says, any of those things. Any of those things. Please mark that down. You want to mark that down. Any of those things. Do not fear. What does that mean? Jesus is saying, I'm aware of everything. How about this? I'm also aware of anything. I'm aware of everything you're dealing with, everything you're coping with, Smyrna, to the believers in Smyrna. Everything. And oh, by the way, keep this in mind. And anything. A lot of people worry about tomorrow. Jesus tells us this in the Bible numerous times, but we don't have to have Jesus tell us. People fret about tomorrow. And Jesus says, I'm here to tell you, I'm aware of everything and anything. Everything tells us in the now, and anything speaks to us about the future. He says there, look at it, mark it in your Bible. The third observation is you are about to suffer. See, that brings me comfort. You say, Jack, what are you, nuts? How can that bring you comfort? Because Jesus says you're about to suffer. That means he already knows about it. Friends, listen, the Bible tells us that God is not going to have you and I suffer something that is beyond our ability to deal with it, with his grace. When he says that he's knowledgeable of the things that you're about to suffer, should send a message to you, then it's okay. That's how Polycarp went to the flames. That's how martyrs go to the sword. They're not kicking and screaming. They know that he knows. And that God is well able to intervene in that moment if he wants things changed. We spend so much energy running around trying to change things that God doesn't want us even touching. You know, so Ephesus last time was a church that was rich and busy and big and beautiful, but they had left their first love. They were comfortable. They were probably highly respected. Smyrna is a church that is rejected, poor. And Jesus, who says nothing negative about them, I believe, because he said nothing negative about them, I believe that they had total love for God. Extreme love for God, because they were in extreme situations. This is the connection I'm trying to make. Are you in some extreme situation according to you? Is that situation now one that is producing in your heart love for God? Or is your extreme situation missing what he's trying to do in your life? He goes on in that short statement there and he says, indeed, the devil is about to. And I believe that he's saying, I know, I love this. I know what the devil's up to. I love that. The Bible teaches this clearly, that God knows what the devil's up to. The devil is not omnipresent. The devil is not omniscient. The devil has none of those attributes. The devil is not a little god. He's an angel. He's localized. He can only be in one place at one time. Is he powerful? Yes. But are we not more powerful as a believer? 1 John 4:4 tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's a reference to the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer versus the demonic powers that are at work in this world. Christian, listen up. In this world, there's a demonic power afoot to bring you into fear and to steal your joy and to crush your peace. And Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Not the kind of peace the world gives. By the way, the peace the world gives is spelled different, I think. And it's peace and peace. The world will take a piece of this out of you and a piece of that out of you and a piece of this and a piece of that. And Jesus says, I give you peace. The peace of God, the shalom of God. The word suffer here. You're about to suffer. It means to experience, listen, this is not a joke. This is what the word means. It means to experience the sensation of pain. You say, well, duh. No, but wait a minute. To experience the sensation of pain that is brought to you by a direct assault. Listen, It's the kind of pain that is brought against you unnaturally, unusual pain. It's not like a pain when you stub your toe. This is a pain that is directed at you. It is a pain that someone has engineered. It is a pain that the devil is up to try to inflict you, to get you to denounce Christ, to try to get you to turn your back on Christ, to try to get you to run away from Jesus, to cave in. It's a very fascinating word. It means to be vexated. We don't use that word anymore. To be constantly surrounded and poked at regarding this pain. And Jesus says, I know what's going on. And by the way, the word here to suffer means, listen, it means to either suffer or to bring suffering upon you that will cripple you, torture you, or martyr you. It'll either kill you, Satan's out to kill you, or by torture or by crippling to silence you. I believe, blame this on me. This is my thing. I speculate right now. I believe that even in America, that there's a movement afoot to silence the church, which is amazing because the church has been amazing in the world, all around the world at this time of suffering. Atheists have been nowhere. They can't offer you nothing but sorrow and defeat. This time has silenced the atheists because they got nothing to say. I said that last week. I'm just happily taking advantage of it to say it again. We've got the message of hope, but there's a demonic power that manipulates the principalities working in the municipalities to try to silence the voice of the church. Thank God the Bible tells us Jesus knows what's up. I want to show you a few things because fear can be a cruel executioner. Fear. In the days in which you and I are living, I want to show you. Now, I'm giving you this to prepare you, not to scare you. So the first thing I want you to see, and maybe you can see it right now on your screens, regarding now what they're saying. Well, you know, we survived this pandemic. What's next? Well, now they're telling us that the world oil analysis is this, that researchers show that current oil price collapse near record proportions. They're announcing that the plummeting of oil prices could spawn some of those oil producing nations to collapse. Well, okay, thank you. Add insult to injury, one more thing I need to care about.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called My Dear Smyrna, I've written you a letter. Thanks for listening, and take heart. If we go through the hard times with the Lord, then it's certain we'll go through the good times as well. My Dear Smyrna, I've Written You a Letter is part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church, a series that's taken from the book of Revelation about the seven letters written to the seven churches and what Jesus wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Isn't it great to know that Jesus loves us so much that he not only gave his life for us, but that he also continues to take care of us? We can come to him with a childlike expectancy, and he in turn will reach out to us. He'll fill us with faith and see us through another day. The church at Smyrna had troubles, that's the truth, a lot of them, and they were about to go through even more. But they knew having a relationship with Jesus Christ was their salvation. Jesus wants that kind of relationship with us. And it's why a daily devotional time with the Lord is so important. And it's why Pastor Jack has a devotional guide at his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, click on the Devotions tab. Now, once you're there, you'll find a weekly Bible verse along with a devotional story written by Pastor Jack. You'll also find previous devotions that you can click on for daily use. It's all right there at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.